Do you want to greet you in the name of Jesus this morning? Welcome all to this worship time of feeding on God's Word and opening the Scriptures. I'm thankful that we can trust God for the big things and the small things in life. And I'm thankful that we can put our faith in Him. As I mentioned last evening, at least I think I did, something about these messages being challenging to me. I particularly found this morning's assignment very, very challenging. Not sure if that's even the word. I didn't know where to go with this. I didn't know what to say about this. Mending broken relationships. I prayed about it quite often, and I know that you have been praying too, and I want to sincerely thank you all for your prayers. Question: is it possible to have a broken Christian relationship? This morning, we are here. And relationships, as we studied or talked about last evening, are important to God. It is in relationships where we flesh out the Christian virtues of everyday life. It's in relationships. Now, I have a piece of paper here this morning. This just came to me as I was sitting here this morning, of an illustration. This piece of paper is whole. It's in one piece. Okay. Now, our relationships as we relate together with each other, we meet new people. And we start to build and develop relationships, as we talked last evening. We trust people. They trust us. We become involved. We start sharing things. And we do not have the same level of relationships with everyone. We understand that. And we need to be okay with that on either side of the fence. But my point is that relationships eventually develop a wholeness. We're open with each other and it's together. But then, there's a lightning strike. Something happens. Just like that. And there begins to be a pull in one direction or another, and the relationship begins to tear. There's a tear. It's no longer completely whole. What made this discussion or this message so difficult for me was the fact that, let's go on a little further with this. Okay, so eventually, and the one question we could ask is, what constitutes, or what is the definition, or what? When do you say that a relationship is broken? It's broken. When is that? You can think about that. I'm not here going to give answers to that necessarily, but when is the relationship broken? A lot of times I think we think of when there's no communication anymore. The communication is stopped and there's a standoff. That's a broken relationship. All right. Things continue in this relationship and eventually it's broken. It is two halves. There are two pieces of paper and there are two sides of a lightning strike. Whatever that lightning strike is, I know you're all thinking, at least probably. Do you get the magnitude of this message this morning? How to bring together two pieces that were mended, that were broken. That's really what this subject, that's really what you have asked me to talk about this morning. How to bring that together. Oh God, we need you so much. Another tentacle on this is this. There are relationships that are broken this morning because one side, let me just do this. Listen to this. I'm going to give you just some little stories here to think about. Then I'll go back to this illustration. 20 years ago, they were married. They enjoyed many happy years together. She enjoyed getting up in the morning, seeing her husband off to work. She thought he was enjoying the relationship as well. But she just found out that her husband has been seen with another woman. What shall she do? Two church brothers decided to get together for a breakfast meeting. Brother A noticed there seemed to be a strain in their relationship and desired to make amends. In the course of the conversation, Brother B very emphatically states that he has been hurt by something that Brother A said and their relationship will never be the same. What shall Brother A do? Two families have been going to church together for many years. As time goes on, there begins to be a shift in the thinking patterns of some in leadership. Sides begin to form, and in the course of the time, two families find themselves on different sides of the conflict. Whenever they get together, the conversation seems to gravitate toward the subject of church issues. Since both of them cannot see eye to eye, they begin to resent getting together, and a wall begins to form. What shall they do? Walls have been formed in that little story way back before the families got involved. What shall they do? That's what we're talking about this morning. And the list goes on and on. Broken relationships are painful and they hurt and they leave torn and bleeding hearts. In the natural sense, when something gets broken, it is broken because there has been a force exerted upon it that was stronger than it could sustain. So when something gets broken, there's a force exerted on it that was stronger than what could be sustained. When I tore this paper, I exerted a force that was stronger than it could sustain, and it tore. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, I came into this world. At one time he says, I came to bring peace. And joy and healing. And but at the other time, he says that he came drawing a line, and sin and righteousness are separated from each other, and that brings conflict in relationships. What I'm getting at is this. There are times when one side of this paper is meaning well, and the other side chooses to follow sin, and it tears. It tears. I want to tell you this morning, this is what I believe. I firmly believe that relationships can be mended, and they may only, they possibly will only be mended on the one side, but they may never come to the place where they are reconciled. Now, what I mean by that is this: if you find yourself in a situation this morning where a loved one has chosen the way of sin and evil and has departed from you, and you are standing solid on the scripture, and your heart is right before God. There is nothing, you have made the wrongs that you have done right. You're committed to God, okay? I believe the Bible teaches that we can have a relationship that is mended, but yet we may not be reconciled together again. I mean, we can be. I'm not saying that it's not allowed to happen. I'm saying that it's possible. You see what the Bible says? The Bible says, I don't have this reference here, but it comes to my mind as I'm talking. When a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. And the desire to hurt and to go after and to trap and to capture and to hold and to keep is gone from you, but you have a heart of forgiveness and love. And you're like the father of the prodigal son who watches the road home. Who watches the road home. And I challenge you this morning in your relationships, you know where the relationship is that you're dealing with that is broken. I challenge you this morning, as well as myself, am I watching the road home? Am I watching the road home? Or am I back at home in the house like the older brother? How we look at those things is going to make a difference. And I believe that God overrules in the affairs of these relationships. Back to this illustration. There's another part in this that we cannot ignore. It is possible this morning, it is possible by the grace of God that the two sides can be mended again. Oh, how beautiful. It is possible. Oh, it's possible. That's why Jesus came to. But you know what? When one side comes and the other side refuses to come, there's nothing we can do besides pray and let God do the work. But when the other side comes, these two pieces of paper and relationships cannot be put back together again without an overlap. And then, if I would have a piece of tape, I would put it right down through the center here, and that would represent the cross of Jesus Christ. That brings healing. I am saying that when we have broken relationships, we need to fall at the foot of the cross and just open our hearts. Another thing that made this so difficult to study was that I understand, shouldn't say understand, that's not the right word. There is a great possibility There is a great possibility that in an audience this size, there are individuals here that are on either side of this spectrum. I don't know where you are. There may be individuals here this morning who are not getting along because two sides are not getting along. Or there may be individuals here this morning who their relationship is broken. Oh, we are just masters. We are just masters at blaming other people. Being victims. We're a victim. We're just masters at that. May God help us as we look at this subject more. I would like to tell. I'd like to have you turn to Luke 17. I want to read verses 1-4. I would like to look at the message now. After we read this, I just felt that we need to look at attitudes of the heart that lead to broken relationships. I just felt we needed to do that. After we look at that briefly, I want to look at some Christian responses in broken relationships. And God, through the aid of the Holy Spirit, can speak to your heart and maybe just tell you what side of the fence you're on. And how you're relating to your broken relationship that you're in. Maybe you're not in any. I don't know. But first of all, Luke 17, verses 1-4. Jesus teaches forgiveness. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Lest you think, verse 3 says, that unless your brother comes to you and asks for forgiveness, you shouldn't. Unless your brother comes and repents to you, you shouldn't forgive him. I do not think that that is what the Bible is teaching. We compare it with other scriptures. However, the Bible is teaching that we forgive. The Bible is also saying here that offenses will come. Offenses will come. Things will happen. And then what? And I believe that as the end times approach upon us, I believe offenses will increase. And I believe they are increasing more and more. Attitudes of the heart that lead to broken relationships or can lead to broken relationships. Number one, anger. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a ferocious man aboundeth in transgression. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a ferocious man thou shalt not go. Anger leads to broken relationships. The burden of this part of the message is for you to open yourself to God. Search me, O God. Is there in me the broken relationship that I'm in? Is there in me a heart of anger? Number two, pride. We cannot bypass what the Bible says. The Bible says, Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. He that is of a proud heart, in Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. I said in this illustration about actively seeking to capture and pursue and to... That is possible. In broken relationships, sometimes one side or the other is just pursuing the other side. Just pursuing them, not in the way of God, but pursuing them, stirring up strife. Just keep digging at it. Number three, attitude of the heart that leads to broken relationships. Contention. Contention. And what is contention? Contention is an eagerness to get into a quarrel. Some of us like debate. We like to debate things. I found out years later, after I was married, I think it was, that in my friend's circle, one of my other friends said that they really enjoyed being with another fellow and myself, because we always got into arguments. I mean, we would have these discussions, and we didn't argue. I didn't know we argued. And my friend that I talked to, they weren't saying we argued, but we bantered both sides of the spectrum, you know. And that's good to do that. That's different than contention. Proverbs 26:21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. In other words, broken relationships happen because people continue to just be contentious. And this verse next, Proverbs 18:19, tells us the depth of this matter. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Like the bars of a castle. What we're talking about this morning is not a, we're used to in our Western culture, the five steps to whatever. I can't give you this morning five steps, this do, and your relationships will be, it'll be just like that. Can't tell you. All I can do is hold out to you the Word of God. And the responsibility is on your part to make sure you are responding properly. The beginning of strife is as one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it is meddled with. Proverbs 17:14. Moving on. Number four, talebearing leads to broken relationships. Number five, hatred. Talebearing. We talked about that some last night, but talebearing, yes. Just telling secrets, revealing. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Are you causing the broken relationship is the question. Proverbs 20:19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Number five, hatred. Hatred. Surely, there's no one here this morning that hates anyone. Surely not. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. 1 John 2:11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Another thing that makes this subject so real is that this verse says that when we hate our brother, there is a darkness that blinds our eyes. Mending broken relationships. God help us. God help us that we can see clearly our heart's condition. Moving on to the next part in the message. Last part of this. I would like to look at Christian responses in broken relationships. How do we respond? What should we do? What should we do? Point number one that I was laid on my heart is this. And we talked about this some more. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I must be willing to evaluate my heart's intentions. I would like you to turn with me to 1 Samuel 20 and look at the relationship between David and Jonathan. I must evaluate my heart's intentions. We're talking about a relationship that is broken, and we are interested in mending it. Christian responses. Christian relationships is what we're talking about through this weekend. All right. 1 Samuel 20, verse 1. We need to seek counsel with an honest friend as well. And David fled from Naoth and Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity, and what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life?" And he, Jonathan, said unto him, "God forbid that thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And they go on to say, that Jonathan and David go on to talk about how they're going to relate together. I say a Christian response in a broken relationship is to evaluate our heart's intentions and to open ourselves up to the counsel of other people. Open ourselves up to the counsel of other people, an honest friend. First John 2:11 says that we can be blinded. We can be blinded. Number two, I must be approachable. I must be approachable. Oh, you do not need to turn here, but I'm going to read to you what the Bible says about Nabal. We can be this way too. David came to Nabal, his servants came to Nabal, and they said, "Look, we have been watching your boss's sheep out here as your shearers, as you were shearing, and we've been out here hiding, using my own words, and could we have some food? We'd like to have something to eat." And Nabal said, "No. There's lots of people today that run away from their masters. No. Absolutely not." There was a young man of Nabal's that went to Abigail, and this is what he says. "But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt. Neither missed we anything as long as we were conversing with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us by night and day, and all the while we were with them keeping the sheep.'" I want you to catch verse 17. "Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son as Belial that man cannot speak to him." Such a son of Belial that man cannot speak to him. I say, in mending broken relationships, we must be approachable. We must be able to be spoken to. Christian responses in broken relationships, we must be able to be spoken to. To be approachable. How do you mend without being able to talk to? Many relationships remain broken today because individuals are not willing to listen to the voice of God and also the voice of others that speak in their lives. Maybe a good check for us would be this. I think I may have mentioned this last evening. Maybe a good check for us to be this, to sincerely, personally, sincerely ask an honest friend, really. The Bible says, really, that if I hate my brother, I can be blinded. I am blinded. I can't see clearly. The Bible talks about taking the mote out of our eyes so we can see clearly. Taking the beam. So we can see clearly to take the mote out. Maybe we should just ask our brother and say, look, really, it is a problem with me. Pride does not want that to happen at all. An essential ingredient to conflict resolution is a willingness to listen. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. All right, moving to the next point. Matthew 5:23-24. I would like you to turn here. I will acknowledge to you and confess to you that I do not understand what all this means. Just a simple knowledge I have of this. But I do not understand what all this means. Proverbs 5:23-24. The picture is a person coming to the altar to sacrifice a gift. Picture with me. They might have a lamb standing there with them, ready to be offered. There's other lambs here. There's other people here. They're standing here. They're ready to do their offerings. And all of a sudden, this individual says, you know what? Back there, yes, that person has a grudge against me. There's something they have a grudge against me. So the individual says, would you keep my lamb? I need to go. Someone takes care of the lamb. And they go back and find the brother. Verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Let's read verse 25-26. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. My point is this. I must be willing to take the initiative to go and seek reconciliation with my brother. It is part of this side of the paper coming to the cross and doing its part so this can be mended. I was willing to go and seek the reconciliation of my brother. Many relationships lie in ruins today because individuals refuse to be willing to go and seek reconciliation. In my heart, I sometimes have these things. Well, if he has a problem with me, he can come and talk to me. Is that scriptural? It's, according to this, we are to go to him. That's hard to do. But you know what we do? We go over here and we say, hey, you know what happened? Like, really, you know what happened? Like, what should I do? And we get the third person involved. Yes, there are times when we need three people. There are times, lots of times, when we need a mediator. Yes. But I just caution you to be careful when you do that. When you seek out or when you tell? What's the motive? What's the motive? The Bible command is to go and seek reconciliation. Christian reconciliation means that I am willing to do what is within my power, with the power of God, to make peace. Reconciliation involves honesty. And we are so good at putting up big, big masks in front of us. We're so good at doing that, making it look different than what it really is, and bypassing the real issues. It takes an honest heart to both speak. It takes an honest heart to both speak and to be spoken to when on either side of this spectrum. Honesty is huge in establishing, mending, and maintaining relationships. Be honest with each other. We'll talk more about this next point tonight, I believe. See, our time is slipping away. But number four is this. I must be willing. No, I had that on my notes first, and that's why I had it in my mind. But I changed it. I must exercise biblical forgiveness. It's not enough to be willing. It's not enough to be willing. I must exercise biblical forgiveness. Forgiveness is founded in the forgiveness of God. I do not understand God's forgiveness to me. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want to say that forgiveness does not condone the sin. Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. When you pray that, you are saying, God, I want you to forgive me of my sin the same way that I forgive other people. That's what I want you to do, God. I really want you to do that. That's what we're saying. Guilt drives a person either deeper into themselves or closer to the cross of Jesus. Forgiveness. Forgiveness sees God in the bigger picture. We could turn to Genesis chapter 50 and look at Joseph and his brothers. I really, it grips my heart what Joseph says. He says in verse 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Biblical forgiveness. Relationships can be mended when we are willing to take the focus off the offender and focus on God. Focus on God. Take our attention off. There's so much we could talk about in this subject in relation to forgiveness. Broken relationships. Healing relationships. John Koblenz, in his book, Getting Along with People God's Way, says this. You cannot forgive what you have not faced. What he means by this is this, that denial is not forgiveness. I talked last evening about the holding power, about there are sometimes things happen and we say, we just deny that it happened. I mean, some very deep things that can happen. abuse situations, if you will, or very deep things. A person can go into this thing of denial, just deny it. We cannot forgive what we have not faced, what we're not willing to walk through. I'd like to give you a picture of forgiveness. Pardon my meager illustration. Imagine in your minds if I had a cage up here and there was a white dove in it. A white dove. And it was fluttering around in there and there was no way it could get out. The white dove represents the offender. And there's no way it could get out. And I choose to release. What forgiveness is opening the door and letting it go free. That's forgiveness. The dove flies away and it's gone. That is forgiveness. When we forgive someone, that is exactly what we do. Forgiveness means to let it go free. To let it go free. That's hard to do. Forgiveness does not mean, it does not mean that we will forget. It doesn't mean that we will forget. But it does mean that when we think about those things, we have to forgive over and over again, I think. We think about those things, we forgive. I'm going to give my last point. There's more to be said about forgiveness. You discuss it among yourselves, and so much can be said. Number five, relationships in the mending process require faith and trust. Let's suppose that two individuals meet Jesus and they come back together. There is a tape run down through, and these papers are mended there together by the blood of Jesus. It requires faith and trust in each other. Oh, you just need to do that. Faith and trust. And that is built over time. That is built over time. Oh, I would like to talk about barriers and lines of resistance. I would like to talk about the taking down of barriers, the pulling down of walls, strongholds coming down. You know, when Jesus' blood reconciles the heart of individuals, there is no end to what Jesus' blood can do and the power of Jesus in bringing healing. Oh, there's no end to it. There's no end to it. I want to give you this story of the Bible before I close. Acts 9 tells us this story. There was a man that was killing people. He was going out and he was taking captives and he was taking them to prison. Okay, maybe the Bible doesn't say that he was killing them, but he was capturing Christians. One day this man was on his way to on another mission to go capture Christians and he was struck down on the road. And he met Jesus. And in Acts 9, the Lord comes to another brother, and his name was Ananias. And the Lord tells him, he says, there's a certain disciple at Damascus, or he says, he calls Ananias, and Ananias says, I'm here, Lord. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And so on. And Ananias says, wait a minute, Lord. I have heard by many things of this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And God says this, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear thy name, my name among the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. And verse 17 simply says this, Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. The barrier that Ananias had came down. Oh today, in our Christian relationships, in the mending process, that we could have faith and trust in each other. Christian relationships, faith and trust. I need to conclude with this, with these verses. Romans 12, 17 to 20. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Don't go seeking the dove that you left go to put it back into the cage. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Brethren and sisters, I will tell you that in my own personal experience, taking down barriers is a lifetime process. But if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That is watching the road home. That is being willing to forgive. That is providing blessing rather than cursing. Our subject this morning was mending broken relationships. The subject this evening is maintaining sustainable relationships. There is no relationship broken so far that the blood of Jesus cannot heal. Let us pray.